This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. In studios, Jay Darden. Later this hour, Mark Ballard of The Advocate. We'll also hear from Megan Angelo, a fabulous young writer who's an established journalist and has written her first novel, Followers, which has gotten outstanding plaudits. 877-217-5757 is your number, and our email is talk@talklouisiana.org. Much to talk about with the Commissioner of Administration. And when we talk with Jay Darden, I've visited with him through the years in various iterations. He was Metro Councilman, he was State Senator, he was Secretary of State, Lieutenant Governor, Commissioner of Administration. And oh, by the way, 40 years ago, he was on the LSU Board of Supervisors. He was a member of the board as a student representative. He was president of the student body when he was a freshman in law school. I was a freshman at the university, and it's actually a little more than 40 years ago, Jay Darden. I think we're going back to 1978 when this happened. And happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you, Jim. It seems like I always spend my birthday with you for a short period of time, and it's always good to see you.
February 6th is a major birthday for Americans of note. Ronald Wilson Reagan, born on this date in 1911, and Babe Ruth, George Herman Babe Ruth, the Sultan of Swat, believed to have been born on this day in Baltimore in the year of 1895. He was born 2 years after Huey Pierce Long, and Babe Ruth, he was on the national scene a little longer than Huey, but nobody dominated America like he did. He, of course, made Major League Baseball, and all these years later, his numbers are supreme. He is, in these sophisticated measurements, still rated as the greatest player in the history of the game, primarily because he was also a pitcher of significance, as you know. But Jay Darden, let's start with the LSU situation. Your name has come up as a candidate, possibly, as president and chancellor, and are you potentially interested in that post?
It's nice to be mentioned, Jim, and I've said publicly, the only thing I've really said is what I mean, that I would be interested, but I want what's best for LSU. I mean, this is a golden moment in time for the university, given the attention on the university because of the football success and the progress that's been made on the flagship campus over the past several years, the potential that exists at Pennington right now with this Dr. Schauer, who's been brought in, who's the top bariatric surgeon in America. And the changes that we've seen in the LSU medical system, there are really a lot of great opportunities. So we'll see what happens. I love the university, and I want the university to do what's best for its future success.
King Alexander, who is leaving the university, he said when he took the job that one of the attractions was that it combined the president's and chancellor's position for the first time. And that may be something that is attractive, but it's a difficult job. Each job is difficult, much less the two of them combined. The governor said it might be better to separate them. What do you think?
Well, there are arguments on both sides. I think having it together provides some benefit and some overall continuity, but they're both massive jobs. And I remember going back our 40 years when I was on the board is when the LSU Law Center split off from the university's main campus and had a chancellor of its own. It's now been reengaged with the main campus. And so there seems to be a movement toward more consolidation, but the board's going to have that decision to make, and obviously they'll make a careful decision before they decide what they're going to do about either or both leadership positions.
And if you were to take the post, I think you'd be the first former board member to be the president and or chancellor of LSU.
Certainly the former non-voting board member. I couldn't vote when I was a student member. In fact, the first time I went to the legislature was as a student to argue that the legislature should give the people the chance to amend the Constitution to let the student member vote because I could participate in the debate, which I did, but when it came time to vote, I couldn't vote. So that's changed now, which is a good thing.
I remember a few years later when Jerry Stovall was fired, the student member who was Angel Graves, who the sister of Garrett Graves, she voted to not fire Jerry Stovall, but the vote was 13-5, and Coach Stovall was sent on his way. But I didn't realize that. You were the catalyst for that.
I think I was the last non-voting member of the board. I think it changed that next year, if I'm not mistaken. I know there may have been one other after me.
Well, you've been doing this for a long time. I remember when you ran against Larry Bankston and lost by the scantest of margins. You probably know it right down to the vote, don't you?
I probably
111, something like that?
No, I think it was in the low 200s.
It was low, but lost a very tight Senate race. But Jay Darden ended up getting elected to the Metro Council and then to the State Senate himself. And you've had this career in public life through various administrations, Democratic and Republican. Now you're working for a Democrat. You're still a Republican.
I am.
And at one time, many, many moons ago, you, like many other Republicans, you were a Democrat, weren't you?
When I registered to vote in 1972, I registered as a Democrat. I changed to become a Republican when Henson Moore ran for Congress. I worked in Henson's campaign and when I was in college, and that's when I became a Republican in the early or mid-70s.
I remember you telling a great story about Edwin Edwards when you were a student body president, and he was known to come around the campus, and you got to meet the Cajun Prince.
Yeah, we met him during the LSU Charity Marathon football game. He gave us $500 in cash to put us over the top to raise more money than any university in America for the Muscular Dystrophy Association in 1973. That was a very memorable evening.
This Edwards, the current governor, for whom you're the top guy as a commissioner of administration, his personality is certainly much different than the other Edwards.
Well, it is, John Bell's a very genuine leader and has done, I think, a tremendous job in trying to focus the state on moving forward and doing some important things for what we'd like Louisiana to look like. And he's got a bipartisan attitude. And we've got some challenges, obviously. And in the past 4 years were difficult. But now that the election is over and he's there and he's not going to be there after this term, I'm hoping we'll see a better level of cooperation between the legislature and the administration. And I'm hoping that will be the case.
But we've already had a collision on the budget estimate, and I think you were caught a bit off guard by Clay Schexnider, who, of course, was elected Speaker largely through the support of Democrats in the House. He's taken a hard line, at least for now.
Well, it's important to safeguard the integrity of the Revenue Estimating Conference. It's designed to estimate revenue, not to deal with expenditures, and we have to rely on the expertise of the economists who tell us what they think the economy's looking like, and it's looking good right now. And the proposal that did catch us kind of by surprise, it came up right before the meeting, and I had not anticipated that was going to happen, would have basically said arbitrarily we're going to take $103 million out of what the economists are telling us we have to spend. The legislature gets to decide how to spend the money. They can choose to spend all of it, none of it, a part of it, but we really ought not be messing with the Revenue Estimating Conference job to tell us how much we have to spend, and then the legislature makes a decision on how to spend it and how much to spend.
Well, in the context of a $30 billion budget, $100 million is a small percentage, and yet we had this $100 million surplus last year, and some people said that the administration misled people. What's reality?
Well, reality is that we had a $500 million surplus from 2019, and there was no misleading at all. The revenue estimate is an estimate, and the Speaker of the House, the President of the Senate, the Governor's representative, and the independent economist have to unanimously agree on what that budget projection will be, and it's changed four times during the year. The conference usually meets four times during the year to evaluate numbers that come in that show what the revenues actually are, and you're either going to have a surplus or a deficit, and it's much better to have a surplus than to have mid-year budget cuts.
877-217-5757. We'll go to the phone lines with Jay Darden. Also, you can send us an email at talk@talklouisiana.org. The commissioner for many years has gone around the state with his Louisiana tour. It's called Louisiana Ain't Mississippi. Why Louisiana Ain't Mississippi? Did I get it right?
That's right.
Okay,
that's right.
Okay. But you know more about the state's history, I think, than anyone. And Huey Long, who was only on the national scene for 7 years in the year of 1929, he was impeached. And the rules are the same in Louisiana. Majority in the House can impeach somebody, a governor, and then it takes two-thirds in the Senate to throw them out. And Huey's outcome was very similar to the outcome we saw yesterday.
Well, it was, and you hit on a remarkable fact, I think, and that is when you think about Huey Long, his impact is 7 years, so that's all, less than two conventional political terms, and kind of forever changed the landscape of politics in Louisiana and arguably in the nation as well. He was poised to probably run against Franklin Roosevelt in 1936 for president had he not lost his life, and on the heels of the Depression, with his concepts of sharing the wealth and redistributing mm-hmm. money, would have been pretty popular in America at the time.
I don't think he would have unseated Franklin Roosevelt in 1936, but to put it in perspective, he was 42 when he was killed, and I was thinking about that, Jay Darden, that if he had run, let's say, in 1960, when John Kennedy beat Richard Nixon, Huey at that time would have only been 67 years old. He'd been much younger than almost all of the candidates are right now for president.
You're right.
he'd be a year older than you just turned.
Thanks for reminding me of that. But I don't know that he would have captured the nation's fascination at the point in time that John Kennedy did.
But he might have had staying power. You never know in politics. And sometimes people lose and then come back. When we think of, you know, Ronald Reagan ran for president three times before he won, who was born on February 6th. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. And good morning, Mr. Darden. I just want to thank you for being a dedicated public servant. I know you really want to help people. My question is, I understand as well that there are parishes that are running out of money. Couldn't we use a fuel tax, a gasoline tax, to help our state out?
All right, we're going to get Jay's response, the Commissioner of Administration. We're about to go to a break, but gasoline tax, it's been 30 years, and so long ago that Jay Darden, what, in 1991, you weren't even there, were you, when they last passed?
It came in 92.
Yeah, it came right after, but we'll talk about that, and we'll return in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster, another segment with John J. Darden, the Commissioner of Administration, longtime public servant, a lawyer of note, graduate of LSU undergraduate, Manship School, Hall of Famer there, and of course he is a graduate of the Law Center, and has spent the last three and a half decades or so in public life, and is now Commissioner of Administration, may very well be the next president and or chancellor at LSU. When do you think they'll make their decision?
I don't have any idea, Jim. I mean, I really don't. They haven't even started the process yet, so it's hard to say.
Okay. Now, getting to Phil's question, he talked about a gas tax, and some people believe Louisiana's overdue. We've got this big backlog in projects and billions of dollars. Do we need something to keep the trains rolling?
Well, I think Phil's suggestion was that it would be necessary to help parishes, and I don't think it would be used for that. If there is to be a gas tax, it clearly needs to be dedicated to roads and bridges, and I think that's the only way that people would support that kind of revenue source, and I think you'll see a lot of discussion about it. Probably not this year, although perhaps in this legislative session, but I think within the next year, there'll probably be a significant discussion about whether we need to do that, how much it should be, how it would be administered, and what would be the use of that money.
Larry Bankston, the aforementioned former state senator, says we need Jay as the president. I think he's talking about president of LSU. The relationship with the legislature is critical. He is the man for the job. How much of that job is devoted to rubbing shoulders and making friends in the state house and Senate?
It probably depends on who's got the job and what their perspective is on what the role should be. Some have kind of been hands-off and left it to other people, and then in other states, and certainly here in the past, they've been very involved in dealing with the legislature. I mean, obviously, there's got to be an interaction between leadership on the various campuses and throughout the state with the legislative leadership.
Steve Winham, former budget director, says, I was the state budget director when the Revenue Estimating Conference was created. Ironically, its intent included eliminating the kind of political games now being played with revenue projections. What do you think?
Well, I think Steve's exactly right, and that's what we've been arguing, that this is not the forum to be fussing about how much money we have. It's a fact based upon the economist's recommendation as to what the forecast ought to look like, and then the legislature obviously has the exclusive purview to decide how to spend those dollars.
Amy on Jefferson asked about this dispute with the administration and the state treasurer over the unclaimed property money. Where is that right now?
Well, the governor's going to file suit if it hasn't happened already, because the treasurer simply does not have the legal authority to place these unclaimed property funds in his escrow account. The law clearly says they go into the general fund and that they can be used by the state until such time as the individuals come forward and say, this is my money. Anybody who comes forward is going to be paid their money, but the law contemplates that it would go into the general fund and not into an escrow account that the treasurer unilaterally uses. I mean, he's not the appropriator. The legislature is the appropriator of money. So we'll have to have that resolved in the courts, and I think it will be resolved in favor of saying that money's got to go in the general fund.
Now, Maxine on Menlo notes that yesterday Mitt Romney became the first U.S. senator in the history of our country from a party to vote for the removal of a president from the same party. He obviously went against the grain. You went against the grain when you endorsed John Bel Edwards, and Maxine notes that payback sometimes is intense.
Well, that's true, and I've always been a fan of Mitt Romney's. I supported him when he ran, when I was in elected public office, but payback can be very real. I understand that.
And to show how things go in politics, how a vote today has repercussions down the line, many of us were supportive and appreciated the 8 years of President Obama, but if Mitt Romney had won that election, he probably would be finishing his second term, and we would be having a less more tranquil America and probably a less conservative Republican Party and a less liberal Democratic Party. And it shows how a vote in 2012 between Obama and Romney had major repercussions down the line. There's a chain that is involved in politics.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're a student of political history, of course, and that's exactly right. I mean, everything has a consequence, and everything has a what if. What if something had gone this way? What if, as you said earlier, what if Huey Long had lived and been on the scene in the 1950s and 60s? How might that have changed
or 70s.
Politics? Yeah, that's right. Now that's right. With the aging of America and the candidates lasting much longer in public life, you're exactly right. And particularly senators who serve into their 80s and 90s.
Stephanie in New Orleans. Stephanie, you're on Talk Louisiana with Jay Darden. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, how are you, Jay? I wanted to follow up on the LSU question because I know Jim mentioned it, and you said you don't have any idea. They haven't even started the process yet. But I mean, how seriously are you being considered for this? And have you talked to people about this? And third, what are your thoughts on the on splitting the position in two? Would you want to be president or chancellor?
Well, I don't know. I know who that Stephanie is. That's Stephanie from Baton Rouge.
Stephanie Regal, who must be in her former hometown of New Orleans. She grew up there.
But she's
eavesdropping from New Orleans, which is good.
I haven't talked to any of them, and I don't know exactly what their process is going to be. And as I said before, they've got to decide exactly what they're looking for and what they how they want to handle this. And I want that to play out before I get even further deeply into this. I've answered people's questions honestly as to whether or not I'd be interested, and I've said, yes, I would be interested, but it's got to run its course.
Well, gentleman who was head of NASA, Sean O'Keefe, he got a lot of grief, as you know, because he didn't have the Ph.D., and some people believe that if they split the jobs, you might have a better, at least less pushback from the faculty if you were president than if you were a chancellor. Does it matter? Do you have a preference one way or the other if the jobs are split?
No, I would see exactly how they want to handle that and what they're going to be, what they say they would be looking for in the two positions or the one position, however they go about doing it. But, they've got to decide exactly what they're looking for before they advertise the position so people who would be interested would know what the job would entail.
I thought a law degree was analogous to a PhD.
Well, it is. It's an.
You
it's
are
qualified.
A doctor. You are. You could call yourself Dr. Darden
well,
if
I
you
could,
chose.
But I don't. Or Dr. J in my if Dr. I was a basketball
J.
fan.
Dr.
But, no.
J. I like that.
But it's a doctorate degree, yes. But and so it qualifies technically as the terminal degree. But
Dr. J, okay. Well, the legislature this year. What do you see as the major issues that are going to be at the Capitol?
Well, it's always the budget, and I think you'll see a lot of focus on how we spend the money and what kind of investments we ought to make. Most everybody talked during the campaign, Republican or Democrat, about the need to invest further in education, and the administration is certainly going to give the legislature the opportunity to do that. We're going to be proposing some very aggressive measures to improve education from birth to postgraduate. And I hope we'll be able to do that. And it's a general session, so you'll see a lot of different ideas being discussed, a lot of new people, obviously, in the legislature. So you'll see a new group with ideas. And I've always said the legislature is a marketplace for ideas and that you ought not stop any vigorous debate on things that could change policy in Louisiana. So I hope we'll see a lot of that as well.
You were a major player in term limits, right?
I was.
I mean,
I handled the bill. David Vitter passed it in the House, and I passed it in the Senate.
Has it worked?
It's worked, certainly from the standpoint of bringing new blood in. People will argue that the loss of institutional knowledge was too high a price to pay, but I think the people of Louisiana would, if they had to do it all over again, would do exactly the same thing and impose term limits. I felt like it was an appropriate thing to do at the time. And I think we've seen it's brought new blood into the legislature and forced some turnover.
Yeah, Bill Huey says, if you were governor, who would you support as president and chancellor if you were making that call?
Well, I have no idea.
Okay. Dr. Landry on Jefferson. Is this Hippolyte Landry? Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. How are you, Jim and Jay?
Hey, Hippolyte, how are you?
Ah, Jay, and congratulations to you for all the good things you've done. Well, to you, Jim, too. Jay, for everything, it's been a real pleasure to watch you, and I hope you do go to LSU. So I've always been on your side.
Well, thank you.
Hippolyte Landry, there's a guy with a past who once examined Elvis Aaron Presley back in the in the day. You were probably at that concert, weren't you, this last concert?
I know I was not there, but I know of it. I didn't know Hippolyte had examined him, but that doesn't surprise me.
Well,
probably played with him, too.
Yeah, well, lastly, you come from a background where you've been in this city a long time, and a lot of amazing people were in your class when you were growing up.
Yep, we really did. We had a great group of people that went to Westdale Junior High. We came together from a variety of elementary schools and then went to different high schools. But our Westdale class of 1969 is a memorable group.
And we'll sometimes maybe have a reunion. We'll talk about those. We've done it once before, but it's been a while. It is a remarkable group of people still active. Thank you. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Jim.
Mr. Jay Darden. We'll return with Megan Angelo, fabulous writer, after this pause for the news.